T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese. John Marks, Ike Reese, as we try to comb through all of these interviews and rumors and reports, Ike Reese, to see who is going to be the next Eagles head coach. And to try to figure it out, we're going to go to our expert, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and his PFT live show on NBC Sports Network. Mike, what's up, man? How are you?
It's funny you guys think I actually know anything about this. How's it going? Great to be with you guys again.
Well, you certainly know as much as anybody, Mike, right? We're all just trying to figure it out from there. But you seem pretty strong in your belief that it could be Josh McDaniels, correct?
Well, there's a report that he's a prime candidate, and I don't know what that means anymore, because there was a report that Brian Daboll was the favorite to be the Chargers coach, and he's not the Chargers coach. Right. Now, of course, he couldn't be because the Bills are still playing, but Brandon Staley was always their guy. And the Chargers, I guess there's a benefit to being the team in L.A. no one cares about, because the Chargers do a hell of a job of keeping their mouth shut and keeping people guessing about what's going on. But I'm surprised McDaniels has bubbled up all of a sudden as a candidate for the job. I'm surprised he wants it, but he may be thinking that the window is closing given the way the Patriots performed this year, given their issues at quarterback and their issues at receiver, and there may be no better opportunity for Josh McDaniels, at least until they somehow conjure up a successor to Tom Brady who can get the team to the playoffs and have them playing this time of year instead of picking up the pieces and figuring out what's next.
Yeah, with only a couple of jobs available now, obviously here and then the one in Houston, Mike, who seems like they are the prime candidate to be a head coach of the remaining candidates? That's one of the issues we're having here in Philadelphia, is that it seems like the top guys have been taken with the exception of Bienemy, but the perception is just Bienemy is a top guy. In reality, he still hasn't been hired as a head coach, so we're trying to figure out, like, Are these the best of what's just left over, or are we missing out on a hidden gem here of these coaches that could be available?
I'd love to know how much Eric Bieniemy is affected by the fact that he can't be hired now, because right. For some teams, if all things are equal, you're going to take the guy that you can hire now and get started on your plans for the coming season instead of waiting until after the Super Bowl. We have seen teams wait for guys when we get to the point where it's obvious that a team that hasn't hired a coach when we get into late January is waiting for one of the assistants who is coaching in the Super Bowl, and usually by then we know about it. But the Bieniemy situation is fascinating to me, because there's a pipeline in Kansas City where Doug Peterson pops out, becomes a head coach. Matt Nagy pops out, becomes a head coach. And Eric Bieniemy's been in that spot, that on-deck circle, for 3 years now. And it's getting to the point where the Chiefs are ready for Mike Kafka to step in and be the next one who will be on deck to get hired. It's this cycle that just kind of churns, but Bieniemy can't get a job. And I don't know why. I don't get it. People say, well, and there's talk, well, you know, he's not great in interviews. Well, you know what? Mike Zimmer wasn't great in interviews, and Bruce Arians wasn't great in interviews, but they eventually got hired. And I think owners need to look past what happens when a guy sits down in a suit and tie and talks to you for 90 minutes versus how he interacts with football players. I see enough watching Chiefs games of Eric Bieniemy commanding that sideline and getting those guys to listen to him in the heat of the moment that tells me this guy knows what he's doing. And when he is so closely involved in an offense that has been crafted to be among the top in the NFL, and I know it helps when you have Patrick Mahomes. You know what? They lost Mahomes on Sunday, and they still held on to beat the Chiefs, and they still moved the ball when they needed to move the ball. I don't get it, and I don't know. Maybe Bieniemy ends up being the coach, and he goes, I don't know. I mean, the Texans would be wise to take a serious look at him if they want to salvage their relationship with Deshaun Watson, and he interviewed there yesterday. But it really is stunning to me that no one has decided, you know what, we're going to wait until early February if we have to make Eric Bieniemy our head coach.
I'm wondering, Mike, looking at the two assistant coaches you just named that was hired from Andy's staff, Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson, and the two things, especially recently with Doug, that would stick out, that would be a red flag for me if I was an owner looking to hire these guys off, or hire anyone off Andy's staff. Both of these guys have had troubles getting their own offenses going. And then looking at the quarterbacks that they've coached, have they really developed Trubisky and Carson Wentz in the last couple of years? I'm wondering if that is sort of a negative when looking at an Andy Reid assistant right now.
Well, here's the difference, though. Doug Peterson was the coach when the Eagles drafted Carson Wentz. So he had a hand in that. He had a role in that.
Yep.
Matt Nagy inherited Mitchell Trubisky. That was a mess that was there when he arrived. And look, who knows if Trubisky ends up with a team that is willing to say, we'll construct an offense to suit your skills and abilities and not try to jam a square peg into a round hole, maybe he would be better. And that's probably the worst thing the Bears could do, is let him go somewhere else and have him become a star. Then they will have blown it multiple ways, by first not taking Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, and then by letting Trubisky go instead of catering to his unique talents. And you know, this year down the stretch, they changed the offense. They got under center more often. There was some flexibility. But I think it's different because Nagy still has never had, quote-unquote, his quarterback. Now, this year, Nick Foles was supposed to be the guy, but he couldn't hold on to the job. So I think that that's a fair criticism of both guys, especially at a time when it seems like good quarterbacks are popping up pretty much everywhere. For these guys to not be able to get the most out of quarterback play is a fair criticism when Andy Reid has been regarded as the ultimate quarterback whisperer.
Right.
Yeah. Talking to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Mike, this morning on your show, you talked about Howie Roseman being fine and actually maybe wanting Josh McDaniels, and now it's talking Jeffrey Lurie into it. The one concern I have as an Eagle fan would be, you look at what happened with Chip Kelly. He came here 1 year, had success, and went right for Howie Roseman, went right for the power, demoted him to the basement, right? And Josh McDaniels, when he was in Denver, it was about power with him. He immediately wanted power, he wielded power, and then he was gone. I don't know if that works well with a guy like Howie that is going to be vulnerable to a guy like Josh McDaniels that has such a, you know, such a powerful personality and a guy that really wants the power in the organization. Do you see it like that? Or how is his job viewed with Howie Roseman around the league?
Well, first of all, from McDaniels' perspective, when he calls his next shot, he's got to get it right. Because if it fails, he's not getting a third shot. No way. And it's hard for him to get the second shot after what happened in Indianapolis. And that's the thing I said today. If Jeffrey Lurie has any reservations about Josh McDaniels, given what happened in Indianapolis, he just needs to use his resources and get to the bottom of what occurred, because there's a story out there that he can discover if he so desires, and if he ultimately believes what he finds out. But, you know, the other side of it, guys, and I know this isn't going to go over well in Philadelphia, but given the current situation there, given this pressure to make it work with Carson Wentz, and, you know, the fan base, and God love them, I love the passion, but it's like winning a Super Bowl was like a taste of some, you know, addictive drug, and they want more, and they're not patient. And I was stunned how the fan base got stirred up this year. It's like you got one of the newest Super Bowl trophies in the NFL. Only the Patriots and the Chiefs have more recently minted Lombardi trophies than the Eagles. But it's just a tough spot to step into right now. And if I'm a coach who has options, I'm seriously thinking waiting until next year for both of these jobs that are open right now. And I think that, you know, usually it's the coach has to sell the team on him. I think there's got to be some salesmanship done by the team on the coach to get the coach to realize he's not stepping into a minefield here. Because it's, you know, I looked up the definition of the term dysfunction today while we were doing the show. I don't know what it is right now, post-Peterson, but it clearly was dysfunctional before, or they wouldn't have fired a guy who had a Super Bowl 3 years earlier and went to the playoffs three straight years and was in it until week 17 this season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much of that is Carson Wentz, Mike?
Well, the article that Jeff McClain had in the Inquirer over the weekend, I thought, was very instructive, and that's repetitive of things that have been out there that Wentz – and what a shock, a quarterback who becomes the centerpiece of an organization and who was traded up for when he was initially drafted and then was selected to be still on the team over Nick Foles, who won the Super Bowl MVP award and then who got the market value contract. What a shock. He may be a little entitled and a little tough to deal with. I mean, I think there's a lot of teams out there that have highly compensated quarterbacks that kind of have to navigate that quarterback a little bit. But that seems like whether it's coming from his personality or whether it's coming from the circumstance, the Carson Wentz angle just hovers over this. And whoever takes that job better have a damn good plan for getting the most out of him, because this does not seem like an organization that is ready to activate the trade Carson Wentz to Indianapolis strategy as soon as the new league year begins. Maybe they're doing a hell of a job of concealing their intention, but everything we've seen, you get this sense that they want to try to make it work. And, you know, when you think back on the careers of some great franchise quarterbacks, they do have, some of them, an aberration year early in their career. Ben Roethlisberger, 2006, Bill Cowher's last season with the team. Not that he was fired, he quit, but that was a bad year for Roethlisberger. Peyton Manning's fourth year, it was the last year for Jim Mora, the elder, the year before Tony Dungy got there. And Peyton Manning regressed. I think the Eagles, seeing what they've seen from 2016 through before this year, up until the moment that Jadeveon Clowney somehow avoided a penalty and a fine when he knocked Carson Wentz out of that playoff game more than a year ago. Up until then, they got every reason to think the guy's legit, and I don't think they're ready to say, no, he's the one guy whose career just completely bottoms out and he can't play anymore after suggesting to everyone that he was here to stay as a franchise quarterback. So that's the issue that's got to be resolved, and whoever takes that job has to know, with eyes wide open walking through the door, that's the biggest challenge in the first year as the Eagles coach.
Mm. Who would you say is another? Who else wouldn't surprise you if they ended up being the Eagles head coach? We said Josh McDaniels. Who else?
Well, even though we see teams that like to do the opposite from what they did, and I don't like that attitude. Like, well, you know, we just hired an Andy Reid guy, so we're not going to hire another Andy Reid guy. Well, you won a Super Bowl with an Andy Reid guy, so I don't know that I would just say we're definitely not going Eric Bieniemy or not. You know, but people talked about maybe Mike Kafka, who they're waiting to make the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Maybe he leapfrogs Bieniemy and he ultimately gets considered. But I've seen, you know, a bunch of names pop up, and either they're doing their due diligence and casting a wide net, or they're having a hell of a time finding the quote-unquote right guy. I mean, Stunner, they're looking for the right guy. But I don't, you know, I don't know how you find the absolute perfect right guy when you have all these other factors at play that need to be solved. And you're going to have candidates who are very, very tempted, although they appreciate the opportunity to interview, they're going to be very, very tempted to say, I'll just wait till next year.
Mike, a quick one out the door. Why are the Seahawks considering Adam Gase for their offensive coordinator?
They're not. There was a conversation. I looked into this yesterday, and I didn't even write about it, because they're not considering him for coordinator. He's not going to be the coordinator, and whoever the coordinator is going to set the clock back on that offense to 2012, 2013, and it's going to set the clock ticking on a potential disintegration of the relationship between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. And that may sound like hyperbole, but he's got 3 years left on his current contract, and he always gets market value deals. And if they start with the run-based offense and the focus on defense again, when it's time to pay him, what he's going to want, they're just going to look at it and say, it's not worth the investment because we don't use him like that. So I think the firing of Brian Schottenheimer could be the first shot, no pun intended, on a path that leads toward Russell Wilson playing for someone else. And I know people are going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? Just watch and see how it plays out.
Great stuff, Mike. Always appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Talk to you. All right, Mike. There he is, Mike Florio. Interesting.
Yep.
Dougie P to Seattle.
Ooh, wouldn't that
listen,
be nice?
That would be very good.
For Doug.
I think
would be.
Where everything went wrong with Doug was that he had to manage everything. You know, the team, the press conferences, his coaches, everything. To where if he could just worry about offense and calling plays, et cetera.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he can't even get an offensive coordinator job.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know.
I will have something on my face for sure.
I mean, think about that. And Florio talked about it a couple minutes ago, where he goes from Super Bowl playoff win, playoffs, Carson Wentz goes out with a cheap shot, and he's fired the next year, and he can't even get an OC job anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. 215-592-9494. So, Ike, Mike clearly thinks that it could work with Howie Roseman and with Josh McDaniels, but it's, I mean, the Eagles are looking everywhere for their next coach.
Yep.
All right, to the phones. Joey in Trenton. Joey, how are you?
Good. How you doing, fellas?
Good.
What's up, Joey?
I'm looking at it from a different angle. Now, I looked up Josh McDaniels' zodiac sign.
Uh-oh.
He's a Taurus, right? And I'm a Taurus, too, so I know.
Is that good or bad?
That's bad.
Ooh, boy.
Because okay. Taurus are stubborn, possessive, and uncompromising.
Oh.
And we're not leaders, I'll tell you that right now.
Ah.
We're moody people. And, like, his quarterback this year was a Taurus, Cam Newton. Like, Taurus is not a good sign to be, like, a leader, like a CEO type. You know,
so, yeah, Taurus could be a wide receiver or a defensive end or
a running back.
Or like a running back.
Like, Taurus has determined energy, but they're not leaders, you know? Like, Leo is a natural-born leader. Like, that's why a lot of people like Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Leo.
And Libras. Libras.
Tom Brady is a Leo.
What about a Libra?
Libras, natural-born leaders.
Yeah, Libras are good. But, and Aries is a good sign because Aries is in a – Aries and Cancer are alpha signs.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like
I don't care.
Peyton Manning was Aries. They're leaders, too.
Man, Joey, you know all about this. This is very impressive.
I'm into the zodiac signs, Joey.
You
seriously.
Are?
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure. I'm into it.
What's a Sagittarius? That's me. What does that say?
Oh, God.
Yeah, if you look at
it. Yeah, you know because your wife's a Sagittarius.
Did I say that?
Yeah, we're crazy.
Man, oh, God came out. I didn't even think before that came out.
We're fire signs, right?
Yeah. Let me shut up
now. So what are you telling me? So what would be the ideal? What are you going for? Give me one or two zodiac signs that we should look for.
Leo is a natural born leader.
Leo.
Like Eric Bieniemy is a Leo.
Ah.
And
what's
Aries? Aries is a leader too. Like what's his name? In the Patriots.
Tom Brady.
No, Belichick's in Aries. Just looked it up.
Oh, Tom, there you go. Got Jack in here looking up zodiac signs.
What about Sala? What is he? He's got to be one of those signs, man.
The guy from Buffalo, the head coach of Buffalo that we should have hired.
Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott, yeah.
He's in Aries.
He's in Aries, too?
He's in Aries, too. So because my brother's in Aries. He's a leader, my brother.
Now, what month is Aries in? Is that March?
That's April, March 20th.
March
to
and
April 19th.
Mm. Okay.
Can you come up with a laminated chart with every coach and their sign so we can decide?
I'm telling you. We're honest people, Taurus. You know, we're stable.
Oh, honest too, of course.
And everything, but we're not like people. We're not CEO type.
Jack, what's your sign?
I'm a Pisces. Just like Andy Reid.
Oh, okay.
Pisces are crazy.
Andy Reid.
All right, thank you, Joey. Appreciate it. Good stuff. Good stuff.
What month is that?
March. It's right before Aries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the ex-girlfriend that punched me in the face and split my lip was a Pisces.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'll bang turkey all the time, man. Punch me like a man. Hurt, too. Totally cheap shot at me.
I'm sitting here thinking about how I'm going to have to deal with that answer to Sagittarius when I get home tonight.
Yeah, it was verbal. Whatever happened, like,
blurted out. That was just a knee jerk reaction.
Yes.
So whenever I hear Sagittarius,
no, because you know,
I do know.
I know
all too well.
Yes, that's me. And you know what I know?
I got two kids that are Sagittarius too.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Wow, you're outnumbered. That's crazy. Well, try comparing that with pregnancy hormones, like, because that's what I'm going through right now at home. Something new every morning, something new. It's a new fight every
day.
There
you go.
Yeah, it's fun. A lot of fun.
Well, it's keeping you on your toes.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's absolutely awesome. So Jack put up a fun Twitter question. We want to get into this coming up here during commercial free. And it's brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged, Mark's Jewelers is the place. If you're looking for wedding bands after you pop the question, Mark's Jewelers should be your first and last stop. Online, marks-jewelers.com. What was your first Philadelphia sports heartbreak? And, Jack, why are we asking this question?
Why are we asking
Well, this it was question? On this day in 2002, or actually 2003, because it was January of 2003, when the Tampa Bay Bucks, who cannot win in the cold, came up here. And after Brian Mitchell's return, everything was looking grand and glorious. And then Ike Reese stepped on the field and everything fell apart.
Ike's fault.
It was all Ike's fault. And it was a day that the Tampa Bay Bucks came in here and beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game.
Shut down the
And 8-year-old Jack was not happy, and it was the first time he was mad at sports. My first Philly sports heartbreak.
So that was your first?
Yes.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That was definitely a heartbreak.
That's something to get you initiated.
Well, I didn't know why I was so mad. I was like 8. I was in a hotel room.
I know why you were mad. Because was your dad mad?
No, he doesn't care about sports. Oh. We were just watching the game because he knew I cared about sports.
Right.
Yeah, but eight years old, you know why you're mad.
Right, but it was the first time I ever felt anger towards a sporting event.
Right.
You know? Gotcha. Like,
that's how invested I was, I guess.
Yeah, because leading up to it, you're all pumped up, and you think it's automatic.
Because when I was growing up, the Eagles never lost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you think it's just a celebration that it's going to happen.
I was lied to by everyone on this station saying the Bucks can't win in the cold.
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Angelo Castaldi.
So was I for that matter.
So was the team.
Yeah, somebody lied to me too.
Yeah. Definitely a heartbreak. Not my first heartbreak, but definitely a good Philly sports heartbreak.
That was my first Philly sports heartbreak for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, because you can't really count the 13 losses I had in my rookie year. Those weren't really heartbreaking.
No,
you were just there.
No, that was just bad.
Yeah, it was just bad.
That wasn't heartbreaking.
No.
So let's. What is your Philly heartbreak? 215-592-9494. Could be your first or could be your worst. That was my worst.
Yeah.
Until the Super Bowl. Until the win. That cleared up. That took care of 2000 and what it was.
Us losing to the Patriots. Yes. Losing to the Patriots.
Winning in 2017 took away all of the all of the losses in 2002, 2003, and then the Super Bowl in 2004.
Yes.
So does the Rondé Barber interception still hit the same way or not?
Yes, still hits the same way. Why are you asking him?
Why?
It hits me the same way.
Well, I know because you were, you know.
Yeah, I would hope that it
every
would
time
hurt,
I see that
like,
stupid
worse.
Highlight, I see that stupid highlight. Yeah, it hits me the same way.
Mm. Even right up until that moment, where
I wanted to run out on the field and tackle him.
Man,
should have tried that.
I just wanted to.
Well, now, if that happened, would they just blow the play dead?
And I'd have been thrown out, 15-yard penalty.
Well, why don't you be a Philly guy for once and get thrown out of the game?
Sacrifice. Be a sacrificial lamb.
Well, because, like, it's not like a moving like when an NBA player goes down, right?
Right.
And it's not a clear path.
Right. No, it's not.
They wouldn't give him a touchdown.
No, they would not.
Listen, Ike, I think if we could go back.
If I had time to think about it, I would have done it. I should have done it. You're right. I'd have been a bigger hero.
You made the right move.
I wouldn't be a bigger hero.
I mean, imagine him on the radio today if he tackled Rondé Barber on the sideline.
Holy cow.
I mean, it'd be every day, thank you for your service.
On the radio, I mean, he'd be on with Skip and Shannon and Max and Stephen A.
Would there be a statue of it outside of the lake?
Probably. Yeah, that was a –
oh, my God.
As players, I'm sure that one hurt.
Oh, man.
As a fan, being in the stadium
– I cried after that one.
That hurt.
I cried after the Carolina game.
Man.
Yeah,
the Carolina.
Another one that I cry after.
Man, 2002 was such a gut punch.
What about 2006 Falcons last game of the year?
Did not cry after that one.
He didn't.
You were thinking about the postgame.
Yeah. I was like, man, I got to get back up here next.
We'll give you an update on the Eagles coaching search on the other side. We'll get back into the Josh McDaniels conversation as well. Eagles have conducted two interviews today alone. Jeffrey Lurie is
knocking
busy.
Them down, knocking them down.
Yeah, Josh McDaniels gets 10 hours in Florida. Meanwhile,
everybody else is getting a 1-hour interview, 30-minute interview.
Yeah, I think John Fossil got a 10, 15 minutes. Like, all right, dude, thank you. And your Philly sports heartbreak, what is it? I wrote down three, and I think they're kind of all off the beaten path. So I'll see if people will mention some of them coming up. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. Our Eagles coaching search updates coming up next.
Hey, 21, 2021 is finally here, and my friends over at Elite Acura can't be more excited to leave 2020 in the rear view. And that starts with clearing out their entire 2020 inventory as soon as possible. Now, they need to make room on the lot for their new 2021 inventory, so they're offering you unprecedented savings on all remaining new 2020 MDXs. Lease for just $379 a month, or you can leave 2020 in the dust in a new 2021 RDX for just $369 a month. Don't miss out on their incredible selection of pre-owned and certified pre-owned Acuras, priced for any budget. They certainly have it all. Plus, all their certified pre-owned vehicles have passed a comprehensive 182-point inspection by their outstanding factory-trained technicians. Experience the difference an exceptionally priced Acura can make only at Elite Acura, home of the Elite Advantage, located on Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Just look for the billboard. You can't miss it. Or check them out online anytime at EliteAcura.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.